Thank you, Chris, and to Dan, and Mario, Ruben, to all of you for singing. Just wonderful. Josiah, thanks. And to Craig, as always. Well, do you have your notes? I hope you have your notes today. I'm asking this because we have no online presence today. I'm trusting you to be able to carry what we talk about today forward. Are you up to the task? You know, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we are to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. So let him be Lord. Always, always sanctify Christ. Let him be Lord. The songs that we sang today were to engage us in sanctifying Christ as Lord in our hearts. And those words were, as Dan prepared for today, not knowing that when he got here, he'd get a text from Urias, and he'd say, can't be there. So, you know, we scrambled around and Josiah was all we could come up with. Joe, you're such a good guy. And really, really thankful. And all of this, you know, again, as Chris mentioned, is really by God's design. So always be ready. So, and sanctifying Christ as Lord in your hearts, so you will be prepared to tell others what you picked up from God's word and how you internalized it from God's word. Question number three. I'm just going to call your attention to this before I do. I think I was thinking I might try to weave these questions in throughout the message, but I want to call your attention to question number three. At the end of the message, and this is what we're asking our young people when Luke and Johan take the kids out of our service, at the end of the service, and they're going to get together with them. They want to ask a basic question. Question number three, what do you think God wants you to take away from today's message on patience / long-suffering? This becomes intensely personal, right? Because if God wants that to happen in each of our lives, we need to do something with that. Question number four, describe some incidences when the Holy Spirit redirected your anger or bitterness or frustration, producing his fruit, the fruit of patience and long-suffering in you. We'll address question five for sure. But why do you think, question number six, why do you think God is so patient with me? No, you'd answer that for yourself. Why do you think God is so patient with you? Why does he continue to be so patient? Man, I was thinking as we sang those songs today, I was all choked up personally, just knowing that we're singing about this almighty, almighty God who speaks words and planets and galaxies come into being. And that God is patient with me. Look at your notes now. I'm going to read the opening paragraph. It's talk a little bit about that. We're talking about patience being on full display. You see, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? So the fruit of the Spirit shows. It shows. It shows to us if and when we are walking in the Spirit. Okay, thank you, Lord, for what you just did. Thank you. And it shows to people around us who they may not, you know, give us an applause, but hey. Jonah knew who he was dealing with when he disobeyed God and ran the other direction. Now, that in and of itself, that statement is, you know, it's like, well, he knew who he was dealing with when he ran away. When God told him to go this way, he went that way. He knew? Yeah, this is what you call malice aforethought. Let me put it another way. He didn't like what he saw in God. And he wanted nothing to do with cooperating with his plans for Nineveh. He hated those pagans. And when God planned to give them time to repent and turn to him and be saved from his well-deserved wrath, Jonah ran away from God in utter defiance of his will. Bad, 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 Jonah. Aren't you glad you're nothing like him? Well, this is what he makes it very, very clear. What was it that he didn't like about God? I hate those people and now you don't. Was that the deal? I hate them. And apparently you don't hate with the kind of hatred, the utmost hatred that I hate them. Like kind of like David talked about in Psalm 139, people that were going the opposite direction of God. I hate them with the utmost hatred. God, I just trumped you with my hatred. Was that why he ran away? No, that's really not the bottom line as to why he ran away. Look at this, read this scripture. We see it in what he said to God. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home?" What's that? "That's why I was so quick to flee from Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Oh God, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, just take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live the way you live. It's better for me not to be, what was it? Slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. It's so much better way to live. That's, at least it's better for me, so I might as well be dead. I find this just so amazingly stupid, and at the same time so amazingly human, probably human, really everyday human. The message today is, you see it always when you have your notes, it's the theme is in bold letters. When we walk in the Spirit, we display the very patience of God. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But this is true. When we walk in the Spirit, the fruit is patience, godly patience. And we walk in the Spirit, God's very character is on display. So what do people mean when they say patience is a virtue? Okay, take a second. Just write down what you think. What is it? What do people? I'm serious. This is kind of patience is a virtue. What's that mean? Well, it's bottom line. I think what people mean it's a moral value. It's the moral thing to do. It's to just kind of maybe don't lose your cool. It's the moral thing to do is don't lose your cool. You know, when you're dealing with something, you're trying to put something together. You know, I think my fine motor skills are not too great. probably never have been. I'm not artistic. When Marilyn says to me, "Would you?" Somebody broke this plate, and I think it's still probably a good plate. Do you think you can glue this? I'm going, "Oh no." Marilyn, if you only knew, it means I've got to get super glue that, you know, once I touch it together, it's going to stick. And some of it's undoubtedly, because I don't have fine motor skills, it's going to stick to part of it's going to stick to my fingers. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe not. Maybe you've got amazing, I hope you have amazing motor skills. I wasn't going to say his name, but Dr. Ortner has. I mean, this guy, he deals with detailed stuff. And he fixed a watch for me. I mean, he just does fine, detailed work. It's just amazing. I don't know how he does it. And I don't care if he's got magnifying glasses, you know, special high-tech magnifying glasses. It still requires fine motor skills. So patience is what? Well, be patient, John, when you're putting these pieces together. Don't rush it. Just, you know, be cool about it. Patience is maybe, patience is a virtue, maybe it's just, you know, being willing to take time and not rush it. I like... When we were a bunch of young track athletes, which was so many decades ago, I can barely remember, but this person was a person bigger than life that I'm remembering today as I think about patience. His name was Norbert Voigt. He owned a bus line in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and Norbert had all these buses. He had school buses, and he had over-the-road buses, and he took our track team around. I mean, he's the owner, and he's driving our track team around. And our guys would say to Norbert, who was a giant, he's sitting behind the wheel, and they're saying, "Come on, put the pedal to the metal, Norbert, let's go, let's get this thing rolling." And he would say over and over and over again, "I've got more time than I've got money." I like that. My kids, I say that now as if this is a truism for everybody, but I think they think it's only a truism for me. And it is. So I may have been the only track guy that remembers that, but patience, well, it's a virtue, and maybe it means taking your time. Come to think of it, it kind of does involve time. Patience has to do with, if you look at take a look at the Greek word, it's made up of two words, and it has to do, the word means long suffering. Putting up with an offense, an ongoing offense, you know, with long suffering. The Hebrew word means a couple of the Hebrew words basically mean long or slow of anger, and so I think in some of the translations, both in the Old Testament and in the New, that refer to this, whether it's in the Greek or the Hebrew, it means to long suffering or slow to anger, to be patient. It has a lot more to do with, unless you see me trying to put those pieces back together again, slow to anger, you know. Who broke this plate after all? The person who broke it should be putting this back together again. Well, I suppose that's the etymology of the word. That's how it eventually got to this nice, comfortable word. Patience, patience. So let's consider some of the things that Scripture has to say about. And we're going to look at a number of Scriptures. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. So right back to Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus 34. Let's look at... You know, this is, what the scene is that Moses is carrying down the second set of stones and that have now been engraved with the Ten Commandments. And so Moses, verse 4, Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, that is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping name of the Lord, the Lord. You know, some of your Bibles, probably most of them, when it says Lord, it's got all capital letters. That's the name of God, Yahweh, his covenant name. Verse 6, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, this is God proclaiming this now, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving the wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He puts up with a lot, doesn't he? I mean, at any point, he can strike out and bam, you're out of here. Sometimes that happens. That's why some people refer to God as wild. In other words, he's out of our control. We'd love to put him on our systematic clock, but no. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Psalm 103. Georgia read this today. I'm just going to read a few verses. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Nor does he treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on the children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows that how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. We referred to already the text, and you've got it in your notes from Jonah. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Turn to Psalm right now. Go back a few. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. This is said in so many different locations in your Bible and in mine. Psalm 86, verse 5, but you, O God, are a compassionate God, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding, overflowing with love and faithfulness or loyal love. To the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3. Why is he so compassionate? Why is he so slow to anger? Now, this relates to the sixth question, folks. It really seriously relates to the sixth question in so many different ways. 2 Peter chapter 3. We have to put this together with verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this, that one day, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some of us would count slowness. You ever think God's being slow? Way too slow? The Lord is slow, is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is a text that is talking about salvation. If you haven't come to Christ yet, and you might be doing things that are so absolutely horribly out of line, and your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your spouse, they've been praying for you that God wouldn't strike you dead before you turn to Christ. And that goes on. I've heard testimony after testimony that way. One of the elders that is now from this church that is now with the Lord, I remember him saying, I would hear my mother praying for me on her knees that I would come to Christ. And this is about salvation. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some think of slowness, but he's patient with you because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So think about this. Why is God, as a believer, why is God patient with you? What's he after if he's being patient with you? What do you think? What do you learn from this text? Why is he being patient with you? God gives us time to repent, to change our direction. He keeps, why have I lived this long? Why do I have probably so many lessons yet to live and things I need to bow the knee to and repent of along the way? In my frustration, it's like, come on, let's go, Lord, let's. Are you going to trust me? Do you realize that for me, time is not an issue right now? But you sure seem to be nervous. You sure seem to think that this is a lot bigger deal than it really is. But I want to step in and I want to say something to somebody. Somebody I really love. Somebody that has been part of my life for a long time, and I feel like right now they're going on the wrong path. And yes, I could say something, and maybe I have said it. And I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it, and I want to keep at it. And God says, can you be patient with me? I've got plans for this person. Just back off. He's my kid. I love him far more than you. I've had people say to me, maybe we should just write a letter to this person and tell her how way off she is right now. Oh, really? So God couldn't, you've already told her that 100 times, 1,000 times. Don't you think we could be patient and let God do the talking? He's a lot better at the Holy Spirit being in us, of convicting the world of sin, our sin, and his righteousness, and the fact that the evil one is dead meat, has been dealt with. God's patience, he has a patience plan for all of us. Let's consider some of the places that his patience plan is for us. Now, I'm making this shift right now because, see, we got to understand God's patience. We keep emphasizing this issue. God is slow to anger. He is a gracious God, slow to anger, and he's abounding in loving kindness. Do we really believe that? As we want to always jump in and take charge. God says, I want you to be patient, not just with this virtue that, you know, you can slow down when you're dealing with fine motor skills. But here's my patience plan for you. People are going to step on your toes all the time. And people that you love are going to be out of line all the time. It's going to happen. And you're going to want to race in and take over for me. I want you to learn to be patient. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 2 to begin with. Romans chapter 2. Paul has just gotten done in Romans chapter 1 talking about the sins of all the people around them and how people go so far astray. And basically they're acting like, people that should know better are acting like, they're acting as if God does not exist all around. Non-Christians, pagans, and Christians as well, as he comes into chapter 2. But in verse 4, he says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches? Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, patience, not realizing that the kindness, God's kindness, leads you toward repentance?" So Paul is now bringing it up to right now. When you're, if you're being impatient, and it's just kind of got you in knots, because life is just not moving along at the clip that you planned it to move along at. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Chapter 9, Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, pick up with verse 22. Romans 9, verse 22. Now what if God, in chapters 9, 10, and 11, he's going to be talking a lot about his people, the Jewish people. And he wants the Christians to just wrap their minds around this. What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience or long suffering or being slow to anger, he bore with patience the objects of his wrath that were prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he called not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. And I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen in that the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, that they will be called the sons of the living God. I'm going to do something with people that are far from me. Isaiah cries out, verse 27. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah had said previously, unless the Lord had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom and we would have become like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, having gained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but Israel, who pursued it, pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it? Why not? Because they pursued it by not by faith, as it were, but by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Paul's heart is breaking for his people. He's breaking for countless Jews that have dogged his tracks. And he's saying, God is still doing something. And he's going to reach these people. I believe these people who hate me and may effectively kill me. I believe God is still, like the some people have called God the hound of heaven. I think he continues to hound me. And he continues to hound his people because he wants us and he wants them to turn to him as Savior. Patience. Be patient. God is still at work in the world. And he's still at work in the world to reach people that are far from him. You know, we were, as Chris mentioned, it was the recognition of 9/11 yesterday. In these past 20 years, the route we've been on. We learned to think of Islamic fundamentalist, Islamic terrorist in different ways. And we possibly learned to think of them as people that are impossibly far from God. In this past week, I don't know if any of you have taken my challenge to get prayercast.com. But I was led in prayer this week, talking about praying for, and this person engaged me in prayer for 6 minutes with visual images and prayers for people like the terrorists that are all over the world praying for terrorists. You think God is interested in them? Well, guess who wrote the words that we just read? It was a man who was a terrorist. You think God is still at work in the world? Of course he is. Of course he is. So no matter whatever is going on around us, you think God might have a plan for what's happening in the world around you? And do you think he might be worthy of our trust to intercept what's going on rather than me keep trying to intercept his plans? Ephesians chapter 4. Continue with the words of Paul. Ephesians chapter 4. Profound words as Paul turns the corner in this amazing letter. And he writes in Ephesians 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. All that love involves is involved. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How do we achieve this unity? It's going to involve. It's always going to involve. Be patient. I want to say, Lord, it's got to be this way. This way. Come on. We can't miss this moment. But what if the bottom falls out here? And God would say to me, John, this is going to involve being long-suffering. It's going to involve being patient right now. Are you up to the challenge? Will you Will you walk with the Spirit right now, John, so that you can just simply let me take it from here and do the things that you can't do. I'm not telling you to sit back and, you know, take a nap in your lazy boy or recliner. No, just, you think you can let me do something that you absolutely can't do with all of your finagling and nagging. First, turn to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We spent a lot of time on verses 9 through 14. Let me just read these words. For this reason, verse 9, Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, since the day that we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit. Oh, there he goes again. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, strengthened so that you may have endurance and, here it is, patience. Paul says, we're praying for you that you will bear fruit and in that way be pleasing to the Lord. Bearing fruit out of this ongoing intimacy with God, just spending time with him, so that this God who is slow to anger and abounding in compassion and loving kindness, that God will be so present with you. It's like, well, of course I can wait, Lord. I can wait for you to do some things that I just absolutely, I know. I'm count on me to wait. Oh, there's a lot of other texts. No matter what you're going through, James says in James chapter 1, consider it, think about this, whenever you have any trials, whenever you have run into any of these impossible situations, all of you, here's the practical news. Actually, wrap your arms around it. Consider those trials as friends, because he's got just some amazing plans for you in the midst of those trials. Do you believe it? I know the wheels, I can hear the wheels turning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. This amazing account of all that Jesus, our high priest, did. And he says, with all these things happening, and with him in the midst of the Holy of Holies, and this one that invites us to pray, now he says in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10, now this is what you do together. This is how this happens for us together. Consider how you can stimulate one another. In the midst of your conversations about, man, this is just really bothering me, and I don't think I can wait for God to do something. I need to rush in and do it. In the midst of conversations like that, somebody like Chris Franklin reads some scripture from Jeremiah chapter 29 saying, this is kind of like patience, okay? You're going in there, you're going to be there for 70 years. You're not going to like it, but settle in and build houses and make a positive contribution there in Babylon. Babylon? Seriously? Babylon, you're there. And so Chris reads that. He read that for all of you and me. It becomes intensely personal. One more scripture. And for me, this is such a rubber meets the road passage. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 18 about forgiving people. And Peter steps up and says, how often should we forgive? Seven times? Seven's the perfect number, right, Jesus? And he says, no, seven times 70. So it's like 490 times. I've had people say to me, I've exceeded 490 times. No more. I can't do it anymore. I think I've already fulfilled the law of God. I've forgiven 490 times. And Jesus said, now let me tell you a story. And he tells this parable of the unmerciful steward. And this unmerciful steward, and this is so serious and so personal to a God who forgives us and who is slow to anger with me, with you, with all of us, and compassionate, abounding in love. He comes down to the end of this parable. And this man who's been forgiven this absolutely enormous debt walks out of the room and he confronts a guy that owes him $100. And he grabs him by the shirt and he says, pay up. And the man says, but give me time. I'll pay it all back. Give me time. He says, throw this guy in jail until he can pay every dime. And Jesus says, the message is, do you really want to, in terms of not forgiving and putting it aside, period, if you don't forgive, then you're not like your Father who's in heaven. And he's got a long ways to go with you until you forgive. As we keep our eyes fixed on the Savior, Jesus, the one who endured such great suffering, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, for the joy that was ahead of him in terms of bringing many to glory. As the Spirit speaks, and as we listen, in all those difficult circumstances, the fruit of that relationship with the Spirit is patience. His patience. Let's pray. And would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've made it so very clear over and over and over again in your word. It was so clear that you are a faithful God, and you are compassionate, and you are slow to anger. We know, Lord, that what you are, you also tell us to trust you to do that in us. Father, I pray that in my own life that you would continue to really hammer sometimes the message home to me. I need to rest in you. I need to find my rest in you on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis. And Lord, I pray that we would become more and more familiar with what it is to walk in the Spirit. Having a relationship that is so freshly aware of your compassion and kindness and loyal love, and so aware of your patience. And may I rest, and may we rest in that patience today. So Lord, we pray that you are able to make us, to lead us down this path, that we'll find that to be true day by day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.